Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. For his merciful kindness is great unto you. His truth never changes, and his day is always new. So praise the Lord, everybody.
Good stuff.
That's good. Until you interrupted.
What?
Until you interrupted.
Yeah, we're just like.
No, that was enough.
Do it three or four times.
That was enough. We're going to the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon is in three parts. There's a chorus, there's a bride, and there's a groom that speak. So you have to know which part is which in order to know when to speak. Otherwise, you get all confused and you don't understand it. There's some really neat stuff. I've been studying the Zohar and the Talmud and everything all day. And there's really neat stuff in this thing. I mean, it blows your mind to think that these rabbis in the Ancient of Days knew. I mean, It's, when you read this stuff, you can see that there's such a famine in our land. It's the famine of Messiah that Amos talks about. Once Messiah came on the scene, the word promised there'd be a Messiah. I mean, there'd be a famine through all of the days. And Amos said, there's a famine in your land, but not of bread. It's the famine of hearing with understanding the word of the Lord. And that's an abomination. It's time that the people were fed. One of those crossfire spots, I mean, most of you heard it, but there's a famine in your land, but not of bread. It's the famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Yet you say, I am with you, but lo, I am not. For I've long since fled the staleness and hypocrisy of your structures, and like the wind I blew past your ways and your systems. For I will not be bound by the ways of the fallen creature. My ways are not your ways. Learn from this and become wise in the wisdom from above. 60 billion Bibles, no revelation. Are they coming?
They said in a minute.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to listen because it's... Okay, first of all, let me just quote what some of the rabbis in ancient times have said. They said if the Bible represents the temple in terms of a metaphor... And the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, represents the Holy of Holies. Rabbi Akiba said, the entire world, from the beginning of creation until now, does not outweigh the day in which the Song of Solomon was given to Israel and the day that you understand it. The Song of Solomon is a love song. It's a metaphor to show the love of God for the wine, Israel, those who see him, the purpose of God, the reason time and space exists. Just as I've told you so often that your sexuality is a figure, a picture of that longing that Christ has for the bride. Once you see through that in its entirety and stop condemning yourself for your sexuality, because of some stupid Pharisees that have been teaching you, then you begin to see through it, to see the freedom of what sex means and why it's so vital. The Pharisees, both Christian Pharisees and Jewish Pharisees, have tried for ever since this book was written to not have it included in the Bible. But God's grace always overcame them. And I said, that's too nasty to be in the Bible. Now the Song of Songs was sung in the temple. It's a. The Talmud says it's when it's sung. We're talking this choir. You remember the choir? Remember how many people were in the choir?
4,000.
Remember how many people? How many trumpets there were?
Six.
No.
Many more than.
No, it's not right. There were 20,000 people in the choir. There were 4,000 trumpets. Remember, there were 144,000 priests in the temple.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking about something that makes the Crystal Cathedral look like a tent. Now, it was sung on the Sabbath, on the intervening Sabbath, on the day of Passover. I mean, on the Feast of Passover. The reason for it was that the sages, the rabbis, declared that on the day of Passover is the day that God betrothed the bride. And here's some great quotes. I was asleep, but my heart waked. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. And that's a quote from the Song of Solomon. Now says Israel, I was asleep in the world, in the captivity of Egypt. My children were so oppressed, but my heart wakened to preserve them so they would not perish. Another one, this is a proverb that's connected with the Song of Solomon. If you seek for her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Song of Solomon is a series of discrete happenings that trace, and this is the Zohar speaking, this isn't me, a series of discrete intervals that trace the gradual growth of the true love in its various nuances and stages, till it finds its consummation on the day of wedlock between Messiah and Israel. This was written 1,000 years before Christ. Let me read some good stuff. I'm going to read some quotes. I'm going to read right out of here, right out of the. The verse I quoted before from 2:2 is, I was asleep, but my heart waked. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. Says the community of Israel, I was asleep in the captivity of Egypt, but I heard the voice of my beloved. The Holy One, blessed be He, saying, open to me an opening no bigger than the eye of a needle, and I will open to see thee through that mysterious gate or door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Open to me, my sister, my love, because thou art the door through which there is entrance to me. If thou openest not, I am closed. Thus it was that when the Holy One, blessed be He, slew the firstborn in Egypt, at the very time Israel entered into the covenant and linked themselves with the community of Israel here on earth by means of the blood which they displayed on the door, the blood of the Paschal Lamb and the blood of circumcision, one on one side and the one on the other, blood on blood, one between to show their faith, On the 14th day, too, they removed the leaven, and Israel emerged from the sphere of an alien power and clung to that which is unleavened, which is the holy bond. And later they became linked to a still higher realm of faith called the Matrona, or the New Jerusalem. And on the 15th day of the same month, when Christ was buried, at the hour of wedlock, or espousal, when the moon is full in full union with the sun, and the lower crowns, the sorceries of Egypt, are not found in the members spread throughout the world, but the moon enjoys the full light of the sun, they all withdrew to a certain place, and the sanctifications of the king are aroused. Therefore, the adornment of the bride is on that day and at night in the visiting of the house. Woe to those that are not of the household when the two Torahs come to unite. Woe to them who are not present. The two Torahs are this Torah on earth, and the Torah, or the essence of the Logos, from heaven. Therefore, holy Israel, prepare for them the house all that day, or for him. And through that door the visitor enters, and they rejoice and sing gleefully. Yeah. And you shall count. And then with regard to the counting of the Omer, the Torah, or the Zohar, says that the counting of the Omer is in the same way, in the same emphasis, the same urgency. It's the counting between the day of Passover and the day of Pentecost. They say that the day of Pentecost was when the two worlds, the two Torahs, united.
Amen.
Now, they don't know. They don't know that the two Torahs have already united in you. So they're still out searching for Messiah, just like the modern Christians are. There's no difference. And they say that this counting between Passover and Pentecost is in the same degree of urgency as that if the bride is in that position of pure, unadulterated love, which she sees nothing else. And the counting of the Omer is that by which she counts until and sees and waits and hopes until she sees her beloved. Yeah. Well, I feel a little weird because there's so much that I want to talk about, but we'll do it later. Let's go to the book, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, not Solomon's. It's not two Solomons.
Many wise, but only one Solomon.
Now, there's three sections: the bride, the chorus, and the groom. Now, the Zohar says the reason there are three parts or three choruses, this is neater than anything. The reason there are three choruses or three parts in the Song of Solomon is to show the bride's deliverance from first Egypt, or the world, then Babylon, or religion, and then Edom, the flesh. That's right. Of course it is. It's because it's the most difficult.
It's
the best for last.
No, but it's also, you'll see here, there's a mind-blowing revelation in a minute. The temple was built and described from the inside out, not the outside in. Don't worry about the outside. That's God's business. Don't worry about the inside. That's God's business. Don't worry about the middle. That's God's business.
Okay, where's the
lady? I have a question. Three letters.
Sadducees. Pharisees.
Three letters.
Herod.
Sadducees, Pharisees, and
Herod.
Okay, 11 Pharisees seem like they're connected with Egypt.
That's good.
11 of them. What's the other one? Hypocrisy, Babylon.
11
of
the Sadducees. Denying the resurrection.
Flesh. And it's in that order. 11 are in that order also.
That's right. Blessing and Rabinette person over there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who's the bride?
Jackie.
Who's the chorus?
P.
Gee,
you
got a short memory.
Who's the announcer?
Me. I got two jobs. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers.
We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee.
I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem.
Okay, stop. I am black because of sin. I am the chief of sinners. It's not talking about the color of her skin. It's talking, just as Hosea said, that first the bride must be the whore. And then out of that whore comes the bride. Here, we as chief of sinners, and from coming forth from us, and we must recognize that we are black before we can be part of the bride. Hallelujah. Understand? Okay. Wait a minute. I'm going to explain something else, and then I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, is the tents of Kedar. Now, Kedar is the direct heir of Muhammad. But more important, that's not what it's talking about here. The tents of Kedar are uglier, and they're really ugly on the outside. But on the inside, they're lined with precious jewels and mind-blowing beauty, as the tents in the Arab kingdom. That's why they say that. That's why this analogy is so important. On the outside, it's ugly. There's no form nor comeliness. But on the inside are all the precious jewels and the jewels that God has defined each one of you as. Understand?
I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black. Because the sun hath looked upon me.
Now that means that the reason the sun hath looked upon me is because I have been worshiping the gods of my fathers. I have turned the wrong way.
My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But mine own vineyard have I not kept.
You understand? We have been dealing with the gods of our fathers. But now mine own vineyard or mine own purpose have I not kept. But now, hallelujah, in knowledge and revelation, we'll now keep the right vineyard.
Amen. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?
Okay, one that turneth aside means, why should I be bashful? You see? Okay. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, now she's just gotten through saying she's ugly as a tent. She's ugly as an Arab tent, and her outside is her sin is as black as there is. And God says to her, the groom turns and says he doesn't see that.
Amen.
He doesn't see outwardly. He looks forth, just as the role of the husband here. You don't look outwardly. You call forth the hidden beauty of the bride within you, within the bride. You don't look at the outward appearance. You don't look at the outward manifestations. And the more you speak to that seed within that vessel, the more that beauty comes forth. Don't pay any attention to the tents of Kedar.
Preaching, brother. That's right. Preaching, brother.
Do I hear a little self-seeking preaching there?
Amen from the corner.
Amen from the corner. Okay, so, but again, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. Now, you know who the Shulamon princess, you know who the, I'll wait till we get there. Now the chorus.
We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver.
The bride.
While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi.
Now the vineyards of Engedi. Engedi was David's hiding place when he was hiding from the type of the Antichrist.
Are these wedding spices?
Yeah. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes.
Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valley.
As the lily among thorns. And really what it says, this is so neat. It says, in the Hebrew it says, as the lily hidden within the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. I mean, the comparison is staggering.
As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my teeth. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me.
I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awaken my love until he pleases. And what that means is until the appointed time of the Father. Now hear that again. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awaken my love till the Father pleases in the appointed time.
The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake, and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past,
hallelujah,
and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.
Now, you remember all the stuff we talked about the turtle dove and the grape, I mean, the green figs. I mean, this is all saying, it's what you see in the spirit, no matter what condition is, it's the time.
In other words, winter is past for you.
Oh, forever, no matter what the condition is.
Even though outwardly it doesn't look like it.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart on the mountains of Bethar.
Okay, now, the mountain of Bethar. I don't know how to explain this. It means the mountain of the horizon, or the mountain of the distinction, or the mountain of division, just like in when Israel was in Egypt for seven of the plagues, they set a difference or a division so that the plagues, seven of the plagues, didn't hit Israel, even though they were in the land. So with this saying, he is the Lord of that division, and he is he's on that division, waiting with the same longing. Understand? Until the time appointed to the Father.
By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways I beseech him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchman that I go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them. But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, and into the chamber of her that conceived
me. The chamber of her that truly conceived you. You brought him into your true mother's house, which is the New Jerusalem. Understand? I charge you, O ye daughter. Again, now he repeats this. I charge you, O ye. Now he's not. Now he's talking. The daughters of Jerusalem here are the ones, the ones that are sort of running around doing stuff.
Handmaids.
The handmaids. They're not the bride. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love until the Father pleases, until the appointed time. I mean, see, she's running around. Man, the bride had anything to do with it. She didn't believe in this betrothal stuff. She wants to get with it right now. She didn't want this virginity stuff. That's stupid. That's what he's talking about here. You understand? All right, now the chorus.
Who is this that comes out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem.
Stop there. The chariot there should be properly translated a bed. In verse 9, King Solomon being the type of Christ, King Solomon made himself a bed of the wood of Lebanon, etc., etc., etc. Okay?
Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart.
Behold, now again, this is what God is saying to you. Christ is saying to you this now. No matter if you outwardly there is this blackened crap, and if you know, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Now this is what it means in Ephesians 5 when it talks about that the purpose of the husband is to cherish and nourish his wife, to love as Christ loved the church, to hear this, to declare only to her that thou art fair. And in that declaration by faith you call forth the beauty of the bride, and pretty soon any trouble that you had just drifted away as though it had never existed. Because you see first the fear of God, and we talked about last night, and secondly then you begin, the fear is replaced by this unbelievable love. Don't dwell on this surface stuff. The tent of Kedar is supposed to be screwed up. You understand?
Yeah.
This is the only place there is freedom. All right. Behold, thou art fair. I'll get through here. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair.
Sorry.
Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. Now, it doesn't mean your hair looks like a flock of goats. It means that in seeing, it's the flowing, the kind of...
You see from afar, they kind of ripple.
Yeah, we're talking about the kind of goats here that have that long hair.
Yeah, I saw a picture of them. They're really wild.
Huh? What do you call them?
Angora.
Angora.
Make good sweaters.
Angora. Wait a minute. That's good. You can never remember that. That appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. And it doesn't mean they look like, you know, this wouldn't. That means that they are that pure white and perfectly shorn, which come up from the washing. Don't say it.
Come on.
Somebody else get the screw.
Okay. They appear like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing. Whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. Thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereupon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. I'm not going to go through and explain all this, because it'll take all night. We've got to get done. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed upon the lilies, until the day break, and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountains of myrrh, and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shanir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast, and those all are types of the high place identities, by the way. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Again, it's your sister. We're his sister because we have the same seed, the seed of Christ in us. And we're his spouse because in commonality we've become the bride of Christ. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. He's just looked right through all your rebellion. He's just looked right through all your doubt and fears. He's seen right through the confusion, and he only sees the love.
Amen.
Will you see that, husbands? To let it be a revelation for the rest of us. The wives will benefit from it, and you'll benefit more than you ever dreamed of. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I lost my place. Is that legal?
Ten.
How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love? Don't say it. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. Honey and milk. Torah and Revelation.
Yeah. Land of milk and honey.
The land of milk and honey. Land of milk and honey. Again, remember that the milk is always the Torah, and the honey is the Revelation. And together, they're the sweetest of all things. Great. Okay. And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Well, not lately, but a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. It's fenced in by the Holy Spirit. Nothing can get to you. Nothing. No harm can come to you. No evil can befall you. Because you're fenced in as the bride of God himself. As long as you know that you are black and that the outward is like the tents of Kedar. You understand? Don't ever bring that crap, that religious claptrap to the surface, or you'll be Babylon again. So if Babylon is tempting, I think I would have liked Babylon.
You'd
been
good in
Babylon. I'd have been good in Babylon.
You did for a while.
Shut up. Shut up, Judy. Just shut up. A garden enclosed, fenced in, is my... What?
That's why you can make it in Babylon.
I was just thinking about you complaining.
Crystal doesn't have
to
put up with
this.
His subjects don't have to put up with this either.
Very nice, man.
In the land of the blind.
You know what? Besides that, you know what? His congregation bought him this humongous, beautiful house. And they give him all kinds of money.
There's 1,200 of them.
Huh? 20,000.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
All right.
Yeah, but he has to wear a necktie.
What?
He has to wear a necktie.
Okay, that's true. We don't want to do any of that. Okay.
Anyway.
A garden enclosed, fenced in, is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed until the time appointed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense. You know what all that means? You know what all that is? That's the sweet savor, the incense.
Is that what makes up the
incense altar? Myrrhs and aloes too, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living water, and streams from Lebanon that aren't any longer shut up by the Dead Sea, because a dam has broken and that river runs flow and runs through you, and that isn't, you're no longer like this desert because you've dammed up. You prophesy and break that dam, and you're no longer the Dead Sea. Understand? All right.
I was thinking about that, all that stuff as being like the fruit of the Spirit or something.
Yeah. All right.
Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spice thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant food.
Okay. You want to hear some neat stuff?
Yes.
Awake, O north wind. This tells us about the burnt offering. Because the burnt offering is always killed on the north side of the altar. And come, thou south. This tells us of the peace offering, because the peace offering is always killed in the south side of the altar. And blow upon my garden. Let your Holy Spirit, the garden is the whole tent of assembly or the temple, or you. That the spices thereof may flow out. The spices are the altar of incense, that it may flow up and be a sweet savor unto the Father. Let my beloved come into his garden. Let the Shekinah glory dwell with me on the mercy seat. Let the marriage be consummated. And eat his delicious fruits. The fruits are symbolic of all of the offerings within the temple. All right. Oh, it's my turn. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spices. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends. I've called you friends, no longer servants, because now you know everything that the Father is doing. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly from the river of life. O ye beloved, my sister, my spouse. Okay.
I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my love, my
only
father.
Okay, stop there a minute. You were asleep in Egypt. You were asleep in the world, having no life in this world nor the world to come. You were asleep, chasing only the shadows and the idols of the world. Your heart was wakened by the perception of the vanity of the world. And then you heard the voice of the beloved that knocketh. Amen?
Amen. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile?
Hallelujah.
My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, then you tell him that I am sick of love.
That doesn't mean sick. No. It means you're faint with desire.
So what's going on here?
Your soul?
What I think you mean?
Yes.
After being awakened from sleep in Egypt,
then you have to go through the wilderness.
And then you go through the wilderness, and it appears that he has withdrawn. And what I want to know is this the seven mean what I think it means? The watchmen that are around the city have kicked me about, and they've mistreated me, they've taken away my veil.
the watchman being who I think it is.
Why not? Who do you think?
False teachers and preachers.
That's right.
And that's another
persecution
proof that that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's right.
What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us?
My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy, and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips are like lilies, dropping sweet, smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the barrel, his belly as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
To me, his sin like this is like a counterbalancing picture of Christ to the Daniel's description of the image, you know,
with
all different metals and everything.
That's good.
It's real hard.
That's
bad,
good.
You know, it's kind of weird. Whither
is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside that we may seek him with thee?
My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies.
Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tisra, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep gone up with the washing, whereof every one beareth twins, and there is none, not one, that is barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible or glorious as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts. Now, that's an interesting thing. Why did he go there? To see the fruits of the valley, to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Or ever I was aware, O my soul, made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Now, the reason that I wish we could spend a year on this, but the reason he went the valley is that no matter how dirty the outside of the nut is, the inside is the germ of life. Remember what I've told you about the thing about the pecans, that, you know, the whole human race are just pecans. Everyone says, I'm a Baptist pecan, I'm a Buddhist pecan, I'm a Bruce pecan, whatever. You got 10 jillion billion little labels, and you're never intended to be a pecan. You intended to fall into the ground, that a tree might come before.
Yeah.
All right.
Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee.
Now, does anybody know who Shulamite is?
Shulamite's some kind of people.
Well, according to
hey, nobody else
a whole lot of writings, first of all, Shulamite's is part of Egypt, but the bride here could have been
Sheba,
the prince. Princess of all of the world. Anyway, that's another story. What will ye see in the Shulamite, as it were the company of two armies? How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. Thy joints of thy thighs are like jewels. Now we're getting into some interesting places.
The joints.
What? The work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel, we're getting good places. Thy navel is like a round goblet which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon by the gate of Bath Rabbim. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine, for my beloved.
It goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field, let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards, let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. O that thou wert as my brother that sucked the breasts of my mother, when I should find thee without, I would kiss thee, yea, I should not be despised. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of the spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand should be under my hand, and his right hand should embrace me.
I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awaken my love until he please.
Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?
I raised thee up under the apple tree, there thy mother brought thee forth, there she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave, the coals thereof are as coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, if a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned or despised in comparison to what the love is.
Totally insufficient.
Insufficient, insignificant.
We have a little sister, and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. If she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar.
I am a wall, and my breath is like towers.
Amen.
Then was I.
That's why you wanted to use your
What?
This time you've gone too far.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
John, you're the groom now.
Yeah. Holy Ghost.
Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal-Hamon. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. Every one for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof 200.
Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it.
Make haste, O my beloved, and be thou like a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices.
Amen.
What's Baal mean?
I don't know. It's a Baal, so it has to be a place of a false god.
But Haman.
I know. That's not it, John.
Haman the guy.
Well, remember now, we are still in the counting of the Omer until the Feast of Pentecost. And at that, we celebrate the uniting of the Torah above and the Torah below in you. I just love that thing when I found out about the, you know, that you, I am black. I'm like the tents of Kedar. Well, that's
true.
But now, as we've celebrated Passover, in knowledge you must see, it's as though we are the first that ever came out of Egypt. We came out of the world. You came out of the world, now you are espoused. You are legally married under Hebrew law. You can go no other place for your sustenance. Amen?
Amen.
And you're fenced in. You're protected by the Holy Spirit. You're guarded and kept. It's only this mind that's lying. this Antichrist. Okay? We went a little over time. But you guys are going to go to a... do stuff, right?
Okay.
Shower stuff.
Party stuff.
Party stuff.
Shower stuff.
I think we should have a blessing for the reader of the bride.
Yeah.
But not the...
See, this is what's trying to get to me. I mean, I talk 50 hours a week or more.
You think you'd do it better.
He's been waiting to sleep.
Much has been given.
I know, but some study says one little wimp thing, a little wimp revelation thingy or something, and they get 40 blessings. Wow, blessing, blessing, and I never get a blessing.
You do too.
Oh, always have never. That's why. Everybody,
you don't get any blessings. You get us in your room. We certainly wouldn't want to
defile
the office.
I'm just appreciative that you didn't make any jokes about California when they talked about going down to the Garden of Nuts.
It was very tempting. It was very tempting. Anybody have anything else? Take a big guy.